techniques or...
My next question is where did you get your source material, both the stories and the pictures and the engravings, etc.? Like, where did you get most of your stuff?
Yeah, like I said briefly a while ago, that I've been saving these cuts, line cuts, and just interesting articles. And from, when we had the shop, we opened the shop in 67, November of 67,
mm-hmm.
and we started getting a lot of old stuff by then, even more than we had before. People would give us things, old magazines, and so I looking through all the old stuff, clip out certain or copy certain old stuff or things, little things here and there that I like. So remember, a few years of doing that.
And like there is also article stuff that you just thought, was any of that solicited for the magazine or?
Some of it was right at first in order to help pay. I sold space for writers, and they would buy so much a page they paid, and they could do say whatever they wanted. I edited one. The guy was cussing, and at that time I was mailing out things to families and stuff, so I had to edit that. But I don't know about the dog. Did you see that one in there, Mary?
Which one?
It was in number two, or maybe it was the first one. I forget. But, this dog walks freely in the street by Dale Walker.
Censored by the editor.
Yeah. And you hear these little cuts, they're great. Oh, speaking of cuts, I'll give you the... I had these printed up. They've yellowed over the years, but this is one. This stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this stuff. You can have this.
Thank you.
Neat stuff. Yeah. Even though it's dark, this is...
Oh, I could scan it in and dust it with the computer.
Right, you can contrast it. And be
that's great. Another question I have is...
Oh, and this is something that goes...
I noticed the theme of the magazine is what they might term retro, emphasizing art from the early 20th century and before. And I noticed even the advertisers kind of tailored their ads to your magazine. Was that something...
Russell, who and I never really knew him. He wasn't a friend of mine, but he was an acquaintance. He used to come in the shop. He said, I'll go out and get the ads for you, and he got a percentage of the ads that he took in. And he told the people, he was born and raised in Hoboken, so he knew all the storekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, Jim will make a great ad, and he showed the ads that I had previously done.
Oh, so you were making the ads?
I was making the ads.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what do you think attracted them to the magazine? What the
advertisers?
Yeah, like did
he went out and said, this magazine is great, people are reading it, and he talked him into putting up the money
and
for an ad.
His name was, again, I'm sorry?
Russell Houston.
Can you tell me briefly some of the highlights of the magazine's history? Was there a period in the magazine, you mentioned Buckminster Fuller wrote you a letter. I saw that letter that you wrote in there. Can you tell me anything else about the magazine's history that was a highlight for you, or highlights?
Well, I was excited when I did the color cover. I wanted to do color. I'm really a colorist as an artist. I love color. So I really wanted to get color in there, but it was one more added expense, So that issue was I loved that. Having that color covered in the red lips of the girl, it was great. But to me, that was a highlight. Unfortunately, it wasn't a turning point because of what happened with inflation. But
was there any particular piece or piece of art in the magazine that you're particularly proud of, besides the lips? Is there anything that really stands out in your mind?
Yeah, the Time Machine, the story by Ed McCormick. He's a great writer today, and back then too, of course. He is an editor right now, and he produces the whole art magazine in New York called Gallery and Studio. Or Studio and Gallery. Is it Studio and Gallery? Studio and Gallery. And he's such a great writer and an old friend. So he helped me with literary mind and inspiration. And we did a continued piece that was in a couple of issues there that that he thought up and did like celebrating the Time Machine magazine. It was like he brought the Time Machine alive by fictionalizing the story. I don't know if you read it in it.
No, I didn't read it. Okay, so it's Time Machine Factory by Ed McCormick.
Yeah, at the time, he was feature writer for Rolling Stone magazine.
That was a pretty big moment for you to have his returning column in your magazine.
Yeah.
And what issue was that? Just so I can remember. Number 11. And you said it was
chapter number 3.
So yeah, so 9, I guess.
So I started at 9, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's also an artist. I met him through the galleries in New York. We became friends when we were artists in the same gallery over there. It's funny.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the museum. You said you were the founder of the Hoboken Historical Museum, is that correct?
Right.
And when did that happen and what made you decide to start that?
The idea kind of evolved from when we had the shop. People used to come in the shop, and that was 67.
Mm-hmm.
And so for all the time we had, the 8 years we had the shop, they'd come in, local people would come in, and they'd start telling us about, oh, Hoboken this and Hoboken that, and did you know just a few feet from here, they had the first this and the first that. You know. And we were impressed. I was impressed. And then, so I started going to the library and looking up stuff in their historical collection, and I just got hooked on it from that. And then I just got more and more, and it became more and more fascinating, and I was so impressed with the history more and more that I figured, Jesus Christ, a book's got to be written about this. I mean, even though there were a few old books back years ago,
yeah.
And there was one at the time being written. It's a shame he tried to get it out by the centennial. So he rushed it, and it didn't turn out that great. A lot of mistakes and so forth. But that's when I started realizing that I started saving stuff and copying stuff.
What year was that? It was 76-ish.
So all the idea didn't. By the time, let's see, I started getting into it in 67. 68, 69, and then by 1970, I did a couple issues of the Hoboken Herald. I started the Hoboken Herald newspaper, tabloid. I knew there was a demand for that kind of thing, Hoboken, and the interest in the history and everything. And, so it was just a question of time that the history. I knew. Well, what happened was when the mayor Pizzetti became mayor, and he was campaigning in 84, I think, for mayor. He struck me as being really somebody on the level, no bullshit and no phony politician. You know, So I figured, well, this, I can talk to this guy, and I won't mind dealing with him.
So you actually wrote a book previously, and then you didn't start the museum until 84 with the mayor? Is that how it worked? Or?
Yeah, I didn't write a book, but I little articles here and there.
Compiled information.
And wrote some pieces for the Hoboken Reporter and so forth.
So the museum went, what
the
year
museum,
did it start?
But I figured, well, this would be a good time for to start a museum. When I realized that he was running for mayor, mm-hmm. and that he would probably win, I can't remember now who was against him, but he clicked like that, and everybody was ranting and raving about it. So when he became mayor, I took the idea to him, and he said, yeah, great. And I said, I want to have it in City Hall. We didn't have any place to have me put on the exhibits. Mm-hmm. It had to be in City Hall. I thought, well, City Hall, if we can get permission. And he said, yeah. So that sensed it, and I went through a year to get all the preparations, and you got to get.
So originally it started in City Hall, and then when did it move to its current location up on the northeast corner of the town? Oh, that was much
more
recent. So it used to be in City Hall.
Oh yeah, for years, yeah.
Okay. Did Time Machine or the museum influence each other at all? Was there ever a time when they sort of, you had similar ideas with each, or not really?
Let me think. Well, sure. In a way, because the first 6 years that I was running the museum, I was president and director and the curator and everything of the museum. All the advertising and the announcements and the newsletter, I did that the same way as the Time Machine magazine on a little... not quite as far out, you might say. Mm-hmm. Not that this is really far out, but not quite as loose. But I use the same old line cuts and stuff to advertise.
You produced several magazines in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. Many, apparently.
I'll show you some newsletters.
Okay. You can check that off. It's interesting, and I guess this leads me to question 26. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I guess that, two magazines, Time Machine and Sybil's Garage, almost 30 years apart, and I think, I mean, in my eyes, they have a very similar aesthetic, although, you know, Sybil's Garage is, I guess, more of, you know, fiction, quote, literary mag, whereas mm-hmm. I guess yours would be more of, wouldn't call it a newspaper so much. What would you call it? Just a magazine, and it kind of has similar themes, I guess, in many ways. And mm-hmm. I guess I wanted to hear your comments on, you know, do you see any reason for that, or do you think it's just a coincidence? Or I mean, we even have pictures of Sybil's Cave mm-hmm. in our magazine. Granted, we're both living in Hoboken, but.
There's when you live in Hoboken, you get inspired by the history and names like Sybil's Cave, and even Hoboken itself is an odd name. So you get inspired, artists get inspired, creative people get inspired by living here.
Yeah.
In similar ways, naturally. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still interested in the small press? Do you pay attention to?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Mhm.
What do you have any opinions on the current state of small press? Do you how do you feel about it, or what are your thoughts?
I'm a little disappointed that they're not as good as they could be.
Any examples?
Some of the comic strip comic book fanzines, are kind of done not too lovingly.
Yeah. You think it's just rushed, or is it cheaply made, or is it just not enough?
Yeah, probably all of those. There's probably good reasons, and they're a little rushed, and They don't take it to heart, really.
And, like, how do you usually keep up with that? Do you just, from word of mouth, or?
Word of mouth and by chance. There's enough stuff going around. I see it here and there. And sometimes, I'll go to the library and even look up old stuff. Not more recent, but old, you know, I mean, the last 10 years, 20 years, even. Still see what's going on. I kind of keep abreast of what's going on. When I say what's going on, meaning the last 5-10 years, even.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. If you could tell us briefly, I noticed that your friend, the plumber musician, was in a couple of these. Can you tell us about him? What was his name again?
Today he calls himself Gene D. Plumber.
Gene D. Plumber, okay.
It would be like the D.
D apostrophe or D-E?
Well, he's got D-E, like he was a D-Plumber.
D-Plumber, okay.
Gene D. Plumber. But it's like Gene the Plumber.
Yeah.
He's Gene the Plumber to his customers, but he's Gene D. Plumber in the band for the humorous side of it, which he likes. And then some serious stuff, he's the Plumber. The Plumbers, the band is called the Plumbers a lot of times. And I just like, his sense of humor is great, so I did a thing on him. Did you read that whole thing? That was
I didn't read the whole thing.
That was one of my favorite pages. To do something like that on somebody alive, you know, at the time, which I did a few things, but that one came out really good. That and Bruce Byron, which you don't have often. If I have another copy of that. I might have just one left, I'm not sure.
How long have you known him for?
Who, Gene?
Yeah.
When he first came, as soon as he came to Hoboken, he discovered the shop we had, the Hoboken Calendar Shop of Current Events. He started hanging out there with other musicians and artists, mostly musicians for some reason at that time. And then he was one of the crowd right away, you know.
So you just kind of met up with him with the store and that whole scene.
Yeah.
He
lived nearby.
I know that you just finished your book, Hoboken, 100 Hoboken First. Is that what it's called?
Right.
And it's basically a pictorial with text of the history of Hoboken. Is that correct? You want to.
It's history, but it's not. I wouldn't call it a history of Hoboken because it's 100 Hoboken first from 1630 to the present.
Okay.
And there's a introduction which talks about the 70s when I. 60s and 70s when I started getting into the history of Hoboken and the present day Hoboken. And there's this short history, early history of Hoboken in there, which
what would you call the
family?
The theme of the book, is it just?
The theme is 100 Hoboken first, which includes an introduction and also a short history of early Hoboken and a short history of the Stevens family,
okay,
which is early Hoboken also.
And the rest is just clippings, what would you call the rest of the book?
Well, the rest is there's a timeline in there, and there's a brief article on the Klamroth House and memory of the Klamroth House, which...
So most of it, you would say, is the history of Stevens, not Stevens Tech, but the Stevens...
Well, they're both featured in there. It's celebrating Hoboken first, which goes back to 1630, like I said, to the present. So you got history, but you also have, I mean, history is also yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
2004 is history.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to emphasize that, you know, when you say history, it doesn't mean ancient history all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean years ago only.
So what made you decide to write this book? I know you talked a little. We talked a little bit before, and we only have we have a little bit of time left. But so what made you decide to start Hoboken First?
I had been wanting to do it for some time. I figured, well, I'll start writing some of the stuff now and put it out with the newsletter, on the museum newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, when I get, I start the book, it'd be a little easier. So I put a few of these out.
So it was just basically your interest in time and history. That,
right.
And, you know, you obviously are a collector.
Right.
And art. And you're creative, so you wanted to put together a book, and your affiliation with the museum, you put together this book to sort of encapsulate that, or...
Well, no, my affiliation with the museum was previous. I mean, I had started the museum,
mm-hmm.
and I was active president and curator and everything up until 1991. And after that, I dropped out. I no longer active.
Mm-hmm.
Concentrated on my artwork for a while and other things. And then when the anniversary of the city was coming up, the museum, they had heard that I'd been working on this book for a number of years on Hoboken First.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me would I be able to finish it in time for 2005, the anniversary. And I said, yeah. Not thinking it would take me a year and a half.
That's a lot of work, I'm sure. But it looks beautiful. Hope maybe I can put a cover in the interview as like a little box there. I want to ask you three quick questions before the tape runs out, just so I can get it on tape. I think we have about 10 minutes left. The first is, just quickly, what do you think of Sybil's Garage? What did you think of the magazine? I'm curious of your opinion, since you seem to be an expert on producing your own magazines.
Well, visually physically, I think it's great. Somebody does a good job. I don't know how many people are involved, but it looks great, the cover and the illustrations, the layout,
mm-hmm.
and the look of it is good. Neat. You got old stuff, you got contemporary stuff. I must say, though, and your article was good, but I must say, when it comes to history now, I underlined, not true underlined here, and I'll go over some of these.
My friend wrote the article, and he gleaned the sources from the internet, so whatever inaccuracies were there.
Yeah, internet is full of inaccuracies. That's the worst place to get.
Maybe we can talk about that a little bit after the tape is over, and then I can retract it in the new issue. Well, just briefly, you said you just finished the book. What kind of projects are you involved in now? Are you doing anything now?
Two projects. I still have that material on future, how they picture the future.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough material to have a show of that, which...
Are you going to put like a gallery show? Or
it'd be nice, yeah. I there's enough to have a gallery show of those.
Are you planning that?
Well, I'd have to make captions for all the pictures, which would take
a while,
take a long time.
Anything else?
And then comic strips. I'm going through my collection of comic strips and making copies of those and enlargements.
When you say comic strips, are you talking about like the newspaper, just like the one line thing, or are you talking about like an actual comic book where it has a 20 page?
Yeah, no comic books. As a kid, I had read a few comic books, but I've always favored the comic strips,
mm-hmm.
Sunday strips and the dailies.
So you have old ones that you collected?
Yeah, old ones from 1900 all the way up.
And you're
to the 50s, a little bit of the 50s, but mainly 20s, 30s, and 40s.
So it's a collection for you, or are you planning on perhaps maybe doing a gallery showing this stuff? Is that something you're considering?
Yeah, I'd like to. It'd be nice to have it, share that with the public. Yeah.
Great. Maybe I can get a picture of that in a minute. This is really not related to anything literary, but I always notice your porch with the, you know, in the Hoboken, the town without porches, you have a porch and then you have the morning glories going up and down. I notice that every year. I'm a plant lover myself. Just if you could just tell us a little bit about the porch. I heard through the grapevine that somehow you were from the south, is that correct? And then
she's got the green thumb, she does the porch.
And
she's from the south, from Georgia.
And that's right, and then she wanted to, you built the porch to bring that aspect of...
Right, to be able to put plants out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have the couch, which we don't sit on it too often, and the monkeys are there. We had a girl, was it today or yesterday? It was today, wasn't it? That girl came by, but this happens all the time.
Oh, little girl.
She remembers when she was a little girl. Yeah. The monkeys, they've been there since the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Sitting on the couch, two monkeys. And in the last couple of years, we got a little baby monkey. Put out.
Oh, the stuffed animals they had there?
Yeah, the monkeys, they're sitting there. Everybody puts clothes on them all the time and different changes their clothes for the season.
Oh, I never noticed that. So you change the clothes of the monkeys
for the season. For the season.
Oh, that's great. I was going to ask you, I took a picture now, but I was wondering if you had maybe a photograph of the porch when it was in bloom that maybe I could put in the magazine that I could borrow, and then I'll give it right back to you. Or color, I would convert it into black and white, but if you had one, I think that would be great. Before the tape ends, just I think we hit every question that I wanted to ask. Is there anything else you wanted to add that you would like to say?
No, I just wish you best on this. This is a great beginning, I think. How many issues is this?
That's number two, and we're...
I think that's great for the beginning.
We're currently in the process of number three, getting the stories in. It's a six-month, every 6 months, biannual type thing, which I'm planning now. And my theme for, I guess I can stop the tape. Is there anything else you wanted to say, or...?
I just hope you get some ads so you can stay alive.
I have some people that are giving me advertising, but...
Or sell the space.
It's pro bono right now, so, but that...
Sell the page to writers.
It's sort of a mutual thing. You're saying the funeral home ad. Funeral home?
Funeral home ad. We don't have to mention the names. Well, I think we had two of them at one time.
Yeah.
But one of them was a full-page ad they paid for, which is, you know, some money. And they didn't like the ad because it was a little too far out and it showed a body. And maybe it's just the casket. It didn't show a body. It just showed the casket.
Yeah.
But people crying and stuff there. And it was an old-time ad. I mean, an old-time illustration from the 1870s. And they kind of had a fit, but our advertising man grew up in Hoboken and went back and explained to him that it went over real good and they should be pleased. And
people probably got used their funeral home after that.
Yeah, it served the purpose, and they finally went along with it. You know.
That's good. Maybe I'll show that ad in there. I don't know how many pictures.